Spirit-filled, passionate, broken, tearful prayer is what moves the kingdom of God forward. And yes, I know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and I'm not diminishing that at all. But you know, you can proclaim the gospel, and unless prayer goes forth ahead of time, it will fall on deaf ears and stony ground, and thorns and briars will spring up and choke out the word, unless that soil is prepared by men and women of God who are on their knees crying out in prayer that God would move in a mighty way. You can proclaim the gospel all day long, and the heavens will be like brass. It will fall on the ground. It will bear no fruit. But if you prayerfully seek God and through the tears and the prayers of His people proclaim the gospel, people will be moved in unimaginable, incredible, amazing ways. Prayer is what moves the kingdom of God forward. Prayer, revival power that is birthed by the prayers of God's people, is what melts the hearts of stone and tenderizes the rebellious, hardened hearts that are hardened by sin. That's what moves the kingdom of God forward. Well, let's look at some scripture. Praise God. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. I've been kind of doing things a little different the last several weeks. Usually I'll start with the verse and we'll just tear that all into a bazillion different pieces and analyze it and, apply it and all this kind of stuff. So thank you for bearing with me. But amen, let's get to the Word of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, just an amazing man of God over in Great Britain, wrote a book about revival. He's one of the most respected scholars and ministers on the planet of this century or the past century. Wrote a book on revival. And he used this particular passage we're going to look at to illustrate the need for prayer. And if I can, I want to borrow some of his thoughts on it because he was so eloquent and I was so moved by what he wrote in that book. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. Jesus had just come with James and Peter and John down off the Mount of Transfiguration. They had seen him transfigured in glory before them. And the other disciples were down on the ground off the mountain. And so they came back down off the mountain. Verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them. And scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever he seizes him, he throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out. But they could not." He answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Does your heart break with this man? To think that your flesh and blood, your precious child, whom you love more than life, is in such torment and in such nightmarish darkness, to be tormented by the spirit, convulsed, thrown down, can't speak, can't even say to his mom and dad, "I love you, mom. Thank you, dad." And you can hear the broken heart of this man. In verse 23, Jesus said, the man asked him, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out. And he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, saying, why could we not cast him out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Have you ever felt frustrated like these disciples? You know, you're trying to do a work for God. You passionately want to see something happen. Maybe see a loved one or a friend get saved. Or maybe get victory over some particular sin that just seems to keep beating you up and beating you up. Or some situation that has you in anxiety. You're almost developing an ulcer because of the dread and the worry and the concern, and you just keep trying everything you know how to do, but this thing won't come unlocked. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we tried everything. Maybe someone has come to you and said, would you speak to my brother or my sister? You know, they need Jesus, and I just don't know what to do. And so you witness to them. You share the gospel over and over and over. You pray for them. You do all these things, and nothing seems to work. You invite them to church. They come to church, and sometimes they'll sit in meeting after meeting after meeting, unmoved by anything. Some meetings, man, you'll be like, man, God was so powerful. I couldn't even believe it. I thought I was just going to, like, fall out on the floor. And they're like, what's for lunch? Do you know what I'm saying? And you're just like, what is it going to take? I don't get it. I don't know. I mean, you know, I have said and done everything I can imagine to do, and they're just not getting it. It's like a stone wall. Has anybody ever felt that way? Man, if not, please see me afterwards, because I want to know the secret, man. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you just feel like you're pushing against granite. And these guys were like, why couldn't we cast them out? Sometimes the entire church feels that way. We'll pour energy and time and money into program after program. We'll do great and mighty things, and we'll have great hopes and expectations, and we'll just pour ourselves out into this project or this event or this outreach or this other thing. And, you know, we have some results. Or maybe we don't have any results. Or maybe we have meager results. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, I just invested my heart and soul into this thing. I don't know how much more I can give. But it was just, you know what I'm saying? Anybody feel like, yeah. I know some, I am grateful for the warriors that we have in this church who have invested their lives into their ministries and have gone day and night pouring themselves out for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of souls. But sometimes, you know, you pour yourself out and you're not seeing these results, and you're thinking, what is it going to take? And I believe the Lord has it in these two words. The secret is in these two words that we haven't read at the end of this passage. He says, this kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. This kind. That means there's other kinds that will. That means that even if the disciples never prayed and fasted a day in their life, they could still have some measure of success against the other kinds and maybe feel like they were doing okay. Maybe be patting themselves on the back and thinking, okay, this is great. Yeah, we're seeing, you know, somebody got saved last year. Cool. We baptized a person last spring. Yeah, we're, you know, wow, that's awesome. Or, you know, man, we had, you know, 50 people come. Cool, you know. And without that focused seeking of God with prayer and fasting, some kinds will be cast out. You will see some success. You'll see some salvation, some deliverance. You'll a modicum of discipleship. You'll get some things. You'll get just enough to make you complacent if you're not careful. But there is a kind that ordinary stuff won't cast out. There is a spirit, there is a force of darkness, and it is strangling our country right now and trying to kill our generation. And we are having, I'm sorry, we are not having the kind of success we ought to be having. We are not seeing the kind of move of God we need to see to rescue this generation. This kind does not come forth but by prayer and fasting. This kind will kill our country dead if we don't lay a hold of God and see Him pouring out His power and revival. This kind will damn thousands of multitudes, millions to hell if we don't lay a hold of God and His revival power to shake this generation for Jesus Christ. This kind is dark and it's powerful and it's wicked. And the church of God needs more than just the wonderful things that we have. We need a visitation from the very throne of God to change this kind and defeat this kind of enemy. This is warfare. This is not simply church. This is a battle, and the eternal souls of people are in the balance. This kind, unless God's prayer warriors call down heaven to earth with focused prayer and fasting, this kind will perish. Walk through a high school. How many mutilators do you see? Roll up their sleeves. How many people with scars on their arms? Roll up their pants legs in the places where they hide their self-mutilation. How many eating disorders where people look like skeletons? And they disguise it with heavy clothing, wearing long sleeves and jackets and things during the hot summer months because they don't want you to see what a skeleton they have become. I was looking up a song by Cademan's Call on the internet the other day, Piece of Glass. Powerful song about a woman who can't believe the image she sees in the mirror because she's only a trace of what she used to be. She has starved herself so almost fatally thin. And the heartbreak of that. What does it take to break someone out of that bondage? Have you ever worked with an anorexic? Have you ever worked with an alcoholic who tries and tries and tries and gets some success and falls back and gets some success and falls back, and they're in and out of rehab 5, 6, 7 times until you wonder, will they ever break free of this demon?